Thank you, choir. Really appreciate that. They worked hard on that number, and I think it showed. I think they did a very, very fine job on it. In Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, in verse 24, we read about a holy day that we are to keep here before God. Has been brought out earlier as far as just the overall holy days. But in Leviticus 23 and verse 24, it says, "Then the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month," which this is on the sacred calendar, "on the first day of the month," which is today, "you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord." Well, we had our offering earlier. Christ, of course, took the place of the sacrificial offering because he was our sacrifice. But here we find an odd statement that we're to have a Sabbath rest and a memorial of the blowing of trumpets. Now, we all know what a memorial is. It's a remembrance. It's a dedication. It's a sanctification, as it were, a thinking back and pondering over certain things like an anniversary or memorial. And we're commanded to have a memorial of the blowing of trumpets. Now, in our modern day and age, if you think back on a memorial of the blowing of trumpets, what's in your mind? Well, young people are probably drawing a total complete blank. The older ones might think of Harry James, and that's pretty well it, you know. And you think, well, who's some famous trumpeters or what trumpet? Or I remember on one date we heard this music and it was a pretty trumpet or something like that. And we do not conjure up in our minds what this meant to the ancient Israelites, because trumpets had a great deal to do with their everyday, day in and day out, life and work, as we're going to see. This holiday, the Feast of Trumpets, is properly known as Rosh Hashanah, which means the head of the year, or it's the beginning of the Jewish New Year. Although, of course, we are here on the first day of the seventh month in the ceremonial calendar, it is the beginning of a physical new year and pictures the time when Israel was brought out of Babylon in captivity, and marks the beginning of the Jewish, then civil calendar, much the same way as a lot of business firms today in our culture, though January the 1st marks the, quote, beginning of the new year. Some businesses and government agencies and et cetera calculate the physical year beginning in April, and some pick other months. But the Feast of Trumpets, which is observed, of course, on the first day of the month, of the seventh month of Tishri. Now, the Jews, in about 500 B.C., added a second additional day to the Feast of Trumpets today and tomorrow that they would celebrate Rosh Hashanah. But actually, for the Jews, the celebration began 29 days ago with a series of over 90 trumpet blasts accruing for the final blast of the climax of the celebration, which takes place today, known as the, quote, great blowing, end quote, or the great blowing of the final trumpet. You know, everything that God does, he does with a purpose. Many times we don't understand that purpose. Many times we're not able to see that plan. But everything God does, he has a plan, he has a purpose, he has a reason behind it. So what are we supposed to learn concerning this Feast of Trumpets? Why the blowing of trumpets? What kind of lessons are we supposed to be able to look back on and think on as, quote, a memorial, end quote, as we keep this sacred feast before God? What lessons can we learn from the blowing of trumpets? I'm going to show you at least seven different categories in the Bible how trumpets were used in the Old Testament. And when they came before God as, quote, a memorial, end quote, then they had a lot on their mind and they had a lot to think about, because these were everyday facts of life to them. Number one, A trumpet represented a sound of alarm. It represented a sound of war. It was used to announce war and problems, anything that came and plagued the camp and so forth. In Jeremiah 4 and verse 19, Jeremiah 4 and verse 19, said, "O my soul, I am pained in my very heart, and my heart makes a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because you have heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet." Because when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, immediate panic and fear would fill their hearts, because they knew that they were being attacked or about to be attacked, that something horrible was about to take place. And they stood in fear as they listened to this great trumpet blast, and it scared them. It really struck, you know, the sound of war, it struck fear in everybody's heart and mind. In Numbers 10 and verse 19, very interesting. Over the years, as they saw God intervene for them time after time after time, over the years when they heard that trumpet blast, short, quick blast of fear, of warning, of impending war, they began to understand that God fought their battles for them, that it wasn't them fighting, that it wasn't them protecting themselves. It was God that fought their battles for them. Notice Numbers 10 and verse 9. "And when you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies." Because time after time they saw God intervene over and over and over again. So after a while, the trumpet actually rallied the troops, so to speak. It inspired them. It gave them courage to go on because they realized that God was going to fight the battle for them. Interesting, in Joshua, the sixth chapter, we find that not only did the trumpet sound an alarm of warfare, but it was actually used in warfare. Joshua 6 and verse 3. He said, "You shall march around the city, and all of your men of war, and you shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all of the people shall shout with a great shout, and then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and all of the people shall go up, every man straight before him." And in verse 20, we find that they did exactly this, Joshua 6 and verse 20. "So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." So here we find that not only was it a symbol of war, it was actually used in warfare. In Ezekiel, the 7th chapter, we find a prophecy, I think, about our end time and what's going to take place, or we might say rather what's not going to take place, but when our nation is threatened with war, when the trumpet sounds, as it were, that nobody's going to go to battle. So they have blown the trumpet, Ezekiel 7 and verse 14. "They have blown the trumpet and made everyone ready, but no one goes to battle, for my wrath is on all of their multitude." And nobody had the heart to get up and fight, that they had lost their will to fight. You know, the trumpet blast is to prepare us for battle. It's to ready us, to get on our armaments, to get prepared and so forth. I might ask, how is your fight coming along? Do you go to battle every single day of your life? Battling with your wife doesn't count, by the way. That's not what that's talking about. As a matter of fact, if that is the case, it might be that you're losing the battle every single day. But we all have a battle to fight. We have a roaring lion that's out to destroy us. And we better hear that alarm and that sound every day of our life and prepare for that battle lest we get devoured. In Ezekiel 33, we also find that God set watchmen to warn the nation, to warn the people. He said in Ezekiel 33, beginning in verse 1, Ezekiel 33 and verse 1, "Again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon the land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory, and make him their watchman, and when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and he warns the people, then whosoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood's on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but he didn't take warning. His blood be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. If the watchman sees the sword coming, but does not blow the trumpet, and the people aren't warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. His blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man," in verse 7, Ezekiel 33, "I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. And when I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul." So this great Feast of Trumpets pictures our calling that God has given to us as a church, as a congregation, as individuals, to give a warning, to give a message to this world, a message of repentance and a message of hope, a message of the return of Jesus Christ. Because if we don't, then God holds us accountable and this world's blood will be on our hands and we're going to be the ones responsible for it. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 8, it's just a plain statement. "For if a trumpet make an uncertain sound, who will prepare himself for battle?" You know, if you are startled in the morning at 4 o'clock and you hear this great trumpet blast, and what are you going to do? You going to grab your shotgun? Are you going to try to turn off the alarm clock? You know, do you get up? Do you roll over and go back to sleep? It's an uncertain sound. It doesn't tell you what you're doing, what you're supposed to be doing, where you're supposed to go, how you're supposed to go. It doesn't convey anything, that it has to be clear. And brethren, we as a church and as individuals cannot afford to give an uncertain sound. We have a job. We have a work to do. And we cannot be uncertain about our message to this sick and dying world that we have to reach and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and the coming kingdom of God. Point number two. The trumpet was blown and went before the Ark of the Covenant. In other words, it announced the presence of God. In Joshua 6 again, and verse 4, Joshua 6 and verse 4, says, "And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass," in verse 5, "that they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, and then the wall of the city will fall down, and the people shall go, everyone straight before him. Then Joshua," in verse 6, "the son of Nun, called the priest and said unto them, Take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horn before the Ark of God." Then in verse 8, "So it was," Joshua 6 and verse 8, "So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horn before the Lord advanced, and he blew the trumpet, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priest who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark. And while the priest continued blowing the trumpets, and then in verse 13, and the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, and the rear guard came after the ark of them, while the priest continued blowing the trumpets. And in verse 16, the seventh time it happened when the priest blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." We also find in 2 Samuel, the sixth chapter, where the trumpet blowing accompanied the ark as it was being brought up. Would one of you mind finding that? Here it is. Let me see if it's plugged in. Thank you. That helps. In 2 Samuel 6 and verse 15, says, "So David and all of the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with sounds of the trumpet." And so whenever the ark was moved, they always had the trumpet to go before it and to blow its horn to acknowledge the presence of God, to tell the people about the law of God contained in the ark and so forth, that it announced the coming. It was kind of like having a police escort with all of the sirens and so forth. I got on Highway 2 the other day, and there was 14 police cars and one van. I don't know who was in the van. I don't know if this is a good guy or a bad guy, but I'm pretty sure it was a good guy, because one of the lead police car, there was two in the front, and then the rest of the police cars followed, all 12 of them behind him. And the first two stopped at the traffic light there, and then the rest just all turned right, and the van turned right, and so forth. So I don't know who was in town or who they were escorting or so forth, but obviously some big wig, and they had the sirens going and all this noise. Well, this is kind of the procession that the ark had, that it wanted to get everybody's attention to know that here was the ark of the eternal living God, that here it contained the law of God inside of it, and here that they were to bow and worship, you know, and acknowledge the presence of this. And First Chronicles 15, it names several priests here, and it says, "And they were to blow the trumpet before the ark of God." And then it talks about the two people who were the doorkeepers of the ark. Then in verse 28, "Thus all of Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the horn and with trumpets and with cymbals, making music, stringed instruments, and harps." So we do find that it was a big deal when the ark was moved. Any time that it was in the presence of mankind, they had the trumpet blast and so forth to draw people's attention to it. Number three, it was used to announce the holy days and important events. In Leviticus 25 and verse 9, used to announce holy days and important events. It says, "You shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. You shall make a trumpet to sound throughout all of your land." And in Numbers 10 and verse 10, "Also in the day of your gladness, in the appointed feasts, at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpet over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God." Then in Numbers 29 and verse 1. "And in the 7th month, on the first day of the month," which we are here today, "you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. For you it is a day of the blowing of trumpets." An entire feast day that was dedicated to the blowing of trumpets. Now the shofar, or ram's horn, or the horn of an ibex, is associated with Abraham's offering of Isaac, that the ram was caught in the bushes, and Abraham went over and just grabbed him and slit his throat and gave that as a sacrifice instead of his son once God told him to stop. But the shofar is associated when the Jews thought about, the ancient Israelites thought about the Day of Trumpets, the Feast of Trumpets, they were immediately reminded of Abraham and of the sacrifice of Isaac on Mount Moriah, as we find in Genesis 22, of course. Rabbinical tradition associates the left horn of the ram as the first trump, and the right horn of the ram as the last trump. Now, where they got that, I have no idea, but that's just Jewish tradition. A distinguishing feature of the celebration is that the last climatic blowing or blast of the shofar, that this was not the usual short warning burst, you know, where it just cried out to warn people, kind of like an alarm going off, you know, wah, 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 wah. Wasn't that at all, but it was a long, sustained, hard, strong blast, signaling victory or good news. When they had good news to tell the people, they always blew the shofar, and it was a long, sustained blast, and people rejoiced, and they knew, hey, this is wonderful. Well, this is the blast that was given on the Feast of Trumpets, that it was a long and sustained blast, and this is referred to as the last blast or the last trumpet. It's also thought by many that Jesus Christ was born on the Feast of Trumpets. He certainly was born sometime around September or October. We may not know the exact date. I've seen several different chronologies linking Christ to being born somewhere around this time. And it is a very, very strong possibility that he was born on the Feast of Trumpets, certainly not in the dead of winter during the Christmas time. Absolutely not. Psalm 81 and verse 3. Psalms 81 and verse 3. It says, blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon and at the full moon and on our solemn feast day, because it announced the full moon and the new moon and the holy days. It's also used in the coronation of a king. Like I said, it marked important events. We're still under point number 3 here. But it was used in the coronation of a king. In 1 Kings 1, and verse 34 said, then let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him king over Israel and blow the horn and say, long live King Solomon. Then in verse 39, then Zadok and the priest took a horn of oil from the tabernacle and anointed Solomon, and they blew the horn, and all of the people said, long live King Solomon. It was also used to announce the dedication of the temple. In 2 Chronicles 5 and verse 12. 2 Chronicles 5 and verse 12. And the Levites, who were the singers, and all of those of Asaph and Heman and Jephthah, the sons and their brethren, stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Now, I've never heard 120 trumpets in my life. The woodwinds are a soft instrument. Strings are considered even softer. Brass instruments, such as your trumpet, are considered the loudest of all, with maybe the exception of percussion, but I think actually a good trumpeter can overcome a good drummer as far as the amount of volume of sound, the decibels that it can put out. But here is 120 priests sounding with trumpets, and in 2 Chronicles 5 and verse 13, indeed it came to pass when the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. So they were in perfect union and harmony. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, For he is good, for his mercy endures forever. That the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. So here, during this time of announcing and dedicating the temple, God was so moved by their music that he literally filled the house to the extent that they couldn't even carry on like they were supposed to be doing. That he was just so excited about hearing the way that they praised him and raised their voice and raised the trumpet and so forth in praising him. It was also used to announce future events of prophecy. In Revelation 4 and verse 1, it says, After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, Come up, and I will show you these things which will take place after this. Now, the trumpet is used to announce future events and things that are going to take place. We're all familiar with the seventh seal, the trumpet plagues, and et cetera, the return of Christ that's announced by a trumpet. In Revelation 8 and verse 1, it says, When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. So that obviously is strong proof that there's no women in heaven. Verse 2, And I saw the seven angels who stood or stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And he goes on and explains those trumpets and so forth. But trumpets are used to reveal to mankind major events that are going to take place in the plan of God. Point number four, they were used to call people together. In Numbers 10 and verse 1, Numbers 10 and verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Make two silver trumpets for yourself. Now, there were two types of trumpets that was used in the Bible. I mentioned the shofar, which was made from primarily the horn of an ibex or a ram. And then they were instructed to make silver trumpets. Now, to the best of our knowledge, these were just long. I don't know if any of you have ever seen a professional horse race. I've not been to one, but I've seen them on television. And they usually have these men come out with these little tails, you know, and so forth. And they'll have like four different trumpeters, and they just blow this real long horn that comes out in a bell at the end. And that is very similar to what ancient Israel was used to as far as their ceremonial trumpets. So he said, Make two silver trumpets, Numbers 10 and verse 2. For yourself, for you shall make them of hammered work, and you shall use them for calling the congregation and for directing the movement of the camps. And so they had certain signals to call people. They had certain signals for this tribe to move over here. They had certain signals for that tribe to move over there. And all of the people understood these things. And when they blow, both of them, all of the congregation shall gather together before you at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. But if they blow only one, then the leaders, the head of the divisions of Israel, shall gather you. And when they sound advance, in verse 5, the camps that lie to the east side shall begin their journey. And when you sound the advance the second time, the camps that lie on the south side shall begin their journey. And they shall sound the call for them to begin their journeys. And when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but not sound the advance. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets, and they shall be unto you as an ordinance forever throughout your generations. So Israel had an elaborate system of communication established to be able to communicate and summon the people. In Jeremiah, the fourth chapter, Jeremiah 4 and verse 5. Jeremiah 4 and verse 5. Declare in Judah and proclaim in Jerusalem and say, Blow the trumpet in the land, cry, gather together and say, assemble yourselves and let us go into the fortified cities. In Numbers, the 10th chapter, we also find where they use the silver trumpets to bring the people together. Numbers 10 and verses 1 through 8. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, make two silver trumpets for yourself. Oh, I'm sorry, I just read that. But basically, there were two types of trumpets, as I mentioned. The metal trumpet was similar to what we have today. And the shofar, or ram's horn, was what was used to signify the holy days. In Nehemiah, the 4th chapter, Nehemiah 4 and verse 20, says, whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there, our God will fight for us. That it drew the congregation together. It reminded them that God is the one who's doing the fighting for them, many times in spite of themselves, but he did the battle for them. And it reminded them of the love that they were to have one for another, the closeness that they were to have, and so forth, because they were one congregation brought together. In Joel 2 and verse 15, Joel, the 2nd chapter, and verse 15, says, blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly. We read earlier about on the Day of Atonement, the fast of the year, where the trumpets were commanded to be blown. Gather the people and sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and the nursing babes, and let the bridegroom go out from his chamber as the bride from her dressing room. Point number five, it was used for general communication among the people. It called them together, but it had other uses as well. In 2 Samuel 18 and verse 16, so Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing Israel, for Joab held back the people. So Joab called them back with the trumpet. He was able to call them to himself and call them back. And then 2 Samuel 20 and verse 22 says, he blew a trumpet, and they withdrew from the city, every man to his tent. So Joab returned to the king of Jerusalem. And in Isaiah 18, that was 2 Samuel 18 and verse 16, 2 Samuel 20 and verse 22. Now Isaiah 18 and verse 3, all inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth, when he lifts up a banner on the mountain, you see it. And when he blows a trumpet, you hear it. Because God wanted to get their attention. Just like God wants to get our attention on this great Feast of Trumpets. In Jeremiah 6 and verse 17, also I set a watchman over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we're not going to listen. We don't care. But God wanted to get their attention. Because God sounded the trumpet as a warning. As an encouragement, yes, but also as a warning to make sure that the people were paying attention and they knew what God's direction was for his people. Point number six. Used in the worship of God. Psalm 150 and verse 3. Psalm 150 and verse 3. It says, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty firmament, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness, praise him with the sound of the trumpet, praise him with the lute and with the harp, praise him with the timbrel and the dance, praise him with the stringed instruments and the flutes, praise him with the loud cymbals, praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So here we find that various musical instruments, just as we do practice today, using a piano and sometimes different other instruments. We've had songs accompanied with guitars and so forth. But it was used in the worship of God. Here in the last chapter of the book of Psalms, we find that David pretty well summarizes everything that the entire book was about, and that is to worship God. I'm constantly amazed when I read the book of Psalms how every fiber of David just loved God and worshiped God and praised God. You know, he said, let the mountains praise God. Let all the animals praise God. Let the grass praise God, you know. Let the hills sing praise to God. That he just absolutely adored God and loved God. And here, in the end of his writing in the book of Psalms, he just sort of summed it up and he said, let all these instruments, the trumpet, the lute, everything, sing their praise unto God. Because one way that he did this, he played a harp. One way that he did this was with musical instruments, and of course the loudest of which, like I said, is the trumpet. And 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 6. And the priest attended to their service, and the Levites also, with the instruments of music of the Lord, which King David had made to praise the Lord, saying, for his mercy endureth forever. Whenever David offered praise by their ministry, the priests sounded trumpets opposite them while all of Israel stood. Oh, I didn't think about that. I should have had y'all standing during this sermon. Just teasing. But here, you know, they did use the trumpet continually in their worship service. And you can imagine how inspiring it was as the people all joined their voice together, probably 2 to 4 million people, and raised their voice on high as these trumpets just blasted and so forth. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 27. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 27. And they returned every man to Judah and to Jerusalem, with Jehoshaphat in the front of them, to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and with harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. The trumpet and other musical instruments were an integral part of the worship of God. So when they had a memorial, a remembering about trumpets, they always thought about their worship to God. Point number 7 and the final point. God is revealed by the sound of trumpets. Covered this somewhat back in point number 2 about the ark, and that God, you know, the trumpet went before the ark to reveal the presence of God. In Exodus 19 and verse 10, Exodus 19 and verse 10. Then the Lord said unto Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and then let them wash their clothes. And let them be ready for the third day, for on the third day the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. So we find, first of all, that God wanted them clean. He told them to wash their clothes, to appear before him clean. Of course, he wanted them to be clean of heart, more than clean of clothes or rags. But he said, let them be ready the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down upon Mount Zion in the sight of all the people. And you shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourself, that you go not up to the mountain or touch its base. And whosoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. And not a hand shall touch him, for he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Whether man or beast, he shall not live. Because it was an awesome thing to be in the presence of God. And you couldn't just go up buddy-buddy to such a being as that. And you had to show respect. And when the trumpet sounds long, which again was a symbol of something rejoicing, it was a symbol of something great, it was a symbol of rejoicing and happiness, it was a symbol of peace and a good tiding. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain. And then in Psalm 47, back in Psalms, verse chapter 47, and verse 5. Psalms 47 and verse 5. God has gone up with a shout, and the Lord with the sound of the trumpet. And as we realize, Christ is going to return with the sound of the trumpet. Certainly one of the great and fantastic meanings of this day, the return of Jesus Christ to this earth to rule and reign, to establish his kingdom upon this earth, to solve all of man's problems. How we all long for the return of Jesus Christ, to hear that sound of that trumpet. We realize that the trumpets prior to that are going to bring a lot of suffering and a lot of woe and a lot of misery on this earth. But when that last trumpet, that long blast trumpet sounds, great rejoicing is coming to the earth because Jesus Christ is going to come and solve all of man's problems. In Isaiah, the 27th chapter, Isaiah 27 and verse 12, Isaiah 27 and verse 12. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will thresh from the channel of the river to the brook of Egypt, and he will gather one by one, O you children of Israel. And it shall be in that day the great trumpet will be blown, and they will come who are about to perish in the land of Assyria, those that have gone into captivity, those that have been taken captive by the beast power, those that have lived, struggled through, and managed to eke out life through the great tribulation, that the great trumpet will be blown, and they will come who are about to perish in the land of Assyria, and they who are outcast in the land of Egypt, and he shall worship the Lord in the holy mountain of Jerusalem. Because that great trumpet is a symbol of salvation. It's a symbol of saving. It's a symbol of rejoicing for the people. In Matthew 24 and verse 31, Matthew 24 and verse 31. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Because we're going to receive salvation at the sound of that trumpet when Jesus Christ returns, and we're going to be resurrected. Those of us which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall ever be with the Lord. We're going to see our vile bodies change. Notice 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 52. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 52, it says, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Oh, how we long for that great blast of that sound of the trumpet, of the blowing of trumpets when Jesus Christ is announced to return to this earth, and our vile bodies will be changed into glorious spirit bodies, born of God to live forever and rule and reign with Jesus Christ on this earth. All right, what does all this mean? I've given you 7 points, 7 things that was common to the Israelites virtually on a daily basis when God commanded them to have a memorial, a remembrance, a memorying, to bring back memories and to think about certain things that they conjured up in their minds on this great Feast of Trumpets. It had a tremendous amount of meaning to them that I think we miss out on a lot of the meaning today of a day of a memorial of blowing of trumpets, because we don't have those things happening today. It's not an integral part of our daily lives like it was to them. So many different pictures and images immediately popped in their mind on the Feast of Trumpets. Images that should also come to our mind as well as we observe this memorial of the blowing of trumpets. They thought of a warning. They thought of war. They thought of impending doom and horrible things that were going to take place. They thought of God fighting their battles, and they rejoiced in faith, realizing that it wasn't they themselves who were going to save themselves, but it was God who did the fighting for them. They thought of an ark that contained the law of God. They thought of a temple and thought about worshiping God in that temple. They thought of the sacrifice of Isaac. We think of the sacrifice of Christ and all that he has given for us and what he's going to do for us when he returns at the great sound of the trumpet. They thought of communicating together, a bond, a love, a friendship that they had between them that was symbolized by the blowing of trumpets to call them together, to bring them together, to draw them together, to have a closeness and a knitness one with another. They thought about a job, a calling, a vocation, a warning, a witness that we have to do. They thought about a new beginning, the head of the year, as this day is known, the beginning of an opportunity for a new physical year, a new start, a new opportunity to, as it were, start all over again. They thought about future events, especially they thought about the coming of the Messiah. We think about Christ, which was probably born on or around the Feast of Trumpets. We think about the coming trumpet plagues and the return of Christ and the resurrection of the saints. They thought about God and worshiping Him and honoring Him. And they and we think about a call to change, a warning from God sent to us to overcome in preparation for the coming of the Messiah. All of this, and a lot more too, is wrapped up in our observance of this glorious day, of a feast, of a memorial of the blowing of trumpets.